Chapter 8. At first, the people I had sent away from the Four Temple Water stood whispering in small groups on the street, and then dispersed when I approached, walking my regular rounds. But soon after, everyone disappeared into their houses, clustered together within. For the next few hours the upper city was quiet, eerily so, and it didn't help that Lieutenant Orne continually asked me what was happening there. Lieutenant Orne was sure increasing my presence in the upper city would only make the situation worse, so instead she ordered me to stay close to the plaza. If anything happened, I would be there, between the upper and lower city. It was largely because of this that when things went to pieces, I was still able to function more or less effectively. For hours, nothing happened. The Lord of the Ratch mouthed prayers along with the priests of Ikt. In the lower city, I passed the word that it might be a good idea to stay in tonight, and as a result, there were no conversations in the streets, no knots of neighbours congregating on someone's ground floor to watch an entertainment. By dark, nearly everyone had retired to an upper floor and was talking quietly, or looking out over the railings, saying nothing. 4 hours before dawn, things went to pieces. Or more accurately, I went to pieces. The tracker data I had been monitoring cut out, and suddenly all 20 of me were blind, deaf, immobile. Each segment could see only from a single pair of eyes, hear only through a single pair of ears, move only that single body. It took a few bewildered, panicked moments for my segments to realize that each was cut off from the others, each instance of me alone in a single body. Worst of all, in that same instant, all data from Lieutenant Orne ceased. From that moment, I was 20 different people, with 20 different sets of observations and memories, and I can only remember what happened by piecing those separate experiences together. At the moment the blow fell, all 20 segments, immediately, without thought, extended my armor, those segments that were dressed, not making even the least attempt to modify it to cover any part of my uniforms. In the house, 8 sleeping segments woke instantly, and once I had recovered my composure, they rushed to where Lieutenant Orne lay trying to sleep. 2 of those segments, 17 and 4, seeing Lieutenant Orne seemingly well, and several other segments around her, went to the house console to check communication status. The console wasn't working. "Communications are out," my 17 segment called, voice distorted by the smooth silver armor. "Not possible," said 4, and 17 didn't answer, because no answer was necessary given the actuality. Some of my segments in the upper city actually turned toward the Four Temple Water before realizing I'd best stay where I was. Every single segment in the plaza and the temple turned toward the house. One of me took off running to be sure of Lieutenant Orne, and 2 said at once, "The upper city," and another 2, "The storm siren," and for 2 confused seconds, the pieces of me tried to decide what to do next. Segment 9 ran into the temple residence and woke the priest sleeping by the storm siren, who tripped it. Just before the siren blew, Jen Shinan ran out of her house in the upper city shouting, "Murder! Murder!" Lights came on in the houses around her, but further noise was drowned out by the shrieking of the siren. My nearest segment was 4 streets away. All around the lower city, storm shutters rattled down. The priests in the temple ceased their prayers, and the head priest looked at me, but I had no information for her, and gestured my helplessness. "My communications are cut off, Divine," said that segment. The head priest blinked, uncomprehending. Speech was useless while the siren blew. The Lord of the Ratch hadn't reacted at the moment I had fragmented, though she was connected to the rest of herself in much the same way I ordinarily was. Her apparent lack of surprise was strange enough for my segment nearest her to notice it, but it might have been no more than self-possession. The siren elicited no more than an upward glance and a raised eyebrow. Then she stood and walked out onto the plaza. It was the third worst thing that has ever happened to me. I had lost all sense of justice of Torren overhead, all sense of myself. I had shattered into 20 fragments that could barely communicate with each other. Just before the siren had blown, Lieutenant Orne had sent a segment to the temple, with orders to sound the alarm. Now that segment came running into the plaza, where it stood, hesitating, looking at the rest of itself, visible, but not there, as far as my sense of myself was concerned. The siren stopped. The lower city was silent. The only sound was my footsteps, and my armor-filtered voices, trying to talk to myself, to get organized so I could function at least in some small way. The Lord of the Ratch raised one graying eyebrow. "Where is Lieutenant Orne?" That was, of course, the question uppermost in the minds of all my segments that didn't already know, but now the one of me who had arrived with the order from Lieutenant Orne had something it knew it could do. "Lieutenant Orne is on her way, my lord," it said, and 10 seconds later, Lieutenant Orne and most of the rest of me that had been in the house arrived, rushing into the plaza. "I thought you had this area under control." Anna Andamiana didn't look at Lieutenant Orne as she spoke, but the direction of her words was clear. "So did I." And then Lieutenant Orne remembered where she was and to whom she was speaking. "My lord, begging your pardon." Each of me had to restrain itself from turning entirely to watch Lieutenant Orne to be sure she was really there, because I couldn't sense her otherwise. A few whispers sorted out which of my segments would keep close to her, and the rest would have to trust that. My 10 segment came around the 4 temple water at a dead run. "Trouble in the upper city," it called, and came to a halt in front of Lieutenant Orne, where I cleared the path for myself. "People are gathering at Jen Shinan's house. They're angry. They're talking about murder and getting justice."
"Murder? Ah, fuck."
All the segments near Lieutenant Orne said in unison, "Language, Lieutenant." Anna Andamiana turned a disbelieving look on me, but said nothing.
"Oh, fuck,"
Lieutenant Orne repeated.
"Are you," asked Anna Andamiana, calm and deliberate, "going to do anything except swear?"
Lieutenant Orne froze for half a second, then looked around across the water toward the lower city at the temple.
"Who's here? Count!"
And when we had done so,
1 through 7, out here, the rest with me.
I followed her into the temple, leaving Anna Andamiana standing in the plaza. The priests stood near the dais, watching us approach.
"Divine," said Lieutenant Orne.
"Lieutenant," said the high priest.
"There's a mob bent on violence, headed here from the upper city. I'm guessing we have 5 minutes. They can't do much damage with the storm shutters down. I'd like to bring them in here, keep them from doing anything drastic."
"Bring them in here?" the head priest repeated, doubtfully.
"Everything else is dark and shut. The big doors are open. It's the most obvious place to come. When most of them are in here, we close the doors and one esk surrounds them. We could just shut the temple doors and let them try their luck with the shutters on the houses, but I don't really want to find out how hard those are to breach. If,"
she added, seeing Anna Andamiana come into the temple, walking slowly as though nothing unusual were happening,
"my lord permits."
The Lord of the Ratch gestured a silent assent. The head priest clearly didn't like the suggestion, but she agreed. By now my segments on the plaza were seeing hand lights sporadically visible in the nearest upper city streets. Within moments, Lieutenant Orne had me behind the large temple doors, ready to close them on her signal, and a few of me dispatched to the streets around the plaza to help herd Tanmin toward the temple. The rest of me stood in the shadows around the perimeter inside the temple itself, and the priests returned to their prayers, their backs to the wide and inviting entrance. More than 100 Tanmin came down from the upper city. Most of them did precisely as we wished, and rushed in, a swirling, shouting mass, into the temple. Except for 23, a dozen of whom veered off down a dark, empty avenue. The other 11, who had already been trailing the larger group, saw one segment of me standing quiet nearby, and thought better of their actions. They stopped, muttered among themselves for a moment, watching the mass of Tanmin run into the temple, the others rushing, shouting down the street.
They watched me close the temple doors. The segments posted there not uniformed, covered only with the silver of my own generated armour, and maybe it reminded them of the annexation. Several of them swore, and they turned and ran back to the upper city. 83 Tanmind had run into the temple. Their angry voices echoed and re-echoed, magnified. At the sound of the doors slamming closed, they turned and tried to rush back the way they had come, but I had surrounded them, my guns drawn and aimed at whoever was nearest each segment.
"Citizens!" shouted Lieutenant Orne, but she didn't have the trick of making herself heard. "Citizens!" the various fragments of me shouted, my own voices echoing and then dying down. Along with the Tanmin's tumult, Jen Shinan and Jen Tar, and a few others I knew were friends or relations of theirs, shushed those near them, urged them to calm themselves, to consider that the Lord of the Ratch herself was here, and they could speak directly to her.
"Citizens!" Lieutenant Orne shouted again. "Have you lost your minds? What are you doing?"
"Murder!"
shouted Jen Shinan, who was at the front of the crowd, shouting over my head at Lieutenant Orne where she stood behind me, beside the Lord of the Ratch and the Divine. The junior priest stood huddled together, seemingly frozen. The Tanmind voices grumbled, echoing in support of Jen Shinan.
"We won't get justice from you, so we'll take it ourselves," Jen Shinan cried.
The grumbling from the crowd rolled around the stone walls of the temple.
"Explain yourself, citizen," said Anaanda Mianai, voice pitched to sound above the noise.
The Tanmind hushed each other for 5 seconds, and then,
"My lord," said Jen Shinan.
Her respectful tone sounded almost sincere.
"My young niece has been staying in my house for the past week. She was harassed and threatened by Orsians when she came to the lower city, which I reported to Lieutenant Orne, but nothing was done. This evening, I found her room empty, the window broken, blood everywhere. What am I to conclude? The Orsians have always resented us. Now they mean to kill us all. Is it any wonder we should defend ourselves?"
Anaanda Mianai turned to Lieutenant Orne.
"Was this reported?"
"It was, my lord," said Lieutenant Orne. "I investigated and found that the young person in question had never left sight of Justice of Torren One Esk, who reported that she had spent all her time in the lower city alone. The only words that passed between her and anyone else were routine business transactions. She was not harassed or threatened at any time."
"You see," cried Jen Shinan, "you see why we are compelled to take justice into our own hands?"
"And what leads you to believe all your lives are threatened?" asked Anaanda Mianai.
"My lord," said Jen Shinan, "Lieutenant Orne would have you believe everyone in the lower city is loyal and law-abiding, but we know from experience that the Orsians are anything but paragons of virtue. The fishermen go out on the water at night, unseen. Sources?"
She hesitated, just a moment, whether because of the gun pointed directly at her, or Anaanda Mianai's continued impassivity, or something else, I couldn't tell. But it seemed to me something had amused her. Then she recovered her composure.
"Sources I prefer not to name have seen the boatmen of the lower city depositing weapons in caches in the lake. What would those be for, except to finally take their revenge on us, who they believe have mistreated them? And how could those guns have come here without Lieutenant Orne's collusion?"
Anaanda Mianai turned her dark face toward Lieutenant Orne and raised one grayed eyebrow.
"Do you have an answer for that, Lieutenant Orne?"
Something about the question, or the way it was asked, troubled all the segments that heard it, and Jen Shinan actually smiled. She had expected the Lord of the Ratch to turn on Lieutenant Orne, and was pleased by it.
"I do have an answer, my lord," said Lieutenant Orne. "Some nights ago, a local fisherman reported to me that she had found a cache of weapons under the lake. I removed them and took them to my house, and upon searching discovered 2 more caches, which I also removed.
I had intended to search further this evening, but events have, as you see, prevented me. My report is written, but not yet sent, because I, too, wondered how the guns could have come here without my knowledge. Perhaps it was only because of Jen Shinan's smile, and the oddly accusatory questions from Anna and Mianai, and the slight earlier in the temple plaza, but in the charged air of the temple, the echoes of Lieutenant Orne's words themselves felt like an accusation. "I have also wondered," Lieutenant Orne said, in the silence after those echoes died away, "why the young person in question would falsely accuse residents of the lower city of harassing her, when they assuredly did not. I am quite certain no one from the lower city has harmed her."
"Someone has!"
shouted a voice in the crowd, and mutterings of assent started, and grew and echoed around the vast stone space. "What time did you last see your cousin?" asked Lieutenant Orne.
3 hours ago," said Jen Shinan. "She told us good night and went to her room."
Lieutenant Orne addressed the segment of me that was nearest her. "One Esk, did anyone cross from the lower city to the upper in the last 3 hours?" The segment that answered, 13, knew I should be careful about my answer, which by necessity everyone would hear. "No. No one crossed in either direction, though I can't be certain about the last 15 minutes.
"Someone might have come earlier,"
Jen Shinan pointed out. "In that case," answered Lieutenant Orne, "they're still in the upper city, and you ought to be looking for them there."
"The guns,"
Jen Shinan began, "are no danger to you. They're locked under the top floor of my house, and one Esk has disabled most of them by now." Jen Shinan cast an odd, appealing look to Anna and Mianai, who had stood silent and impassive through this exchange.
"But..."
"Lieutenant Orne," said the Lord of the Ratch, "a word." She gestured aside, and Lieutenant Orne followed her to a spot 15 meters off. One of my segments followed, which Mianai ignored. "Lieutenant," she said in a quiet voice, "tell me what you think is happening." Lieutenant Orne swallowed, took a breath. "My lord, I'm certain no one from the lower city has harmed the young person in question. I am also certain the guns were not cached by anyone from the lower city, and the weapons were all ones which had been confiscated during the annexation. This can only originate from a very high level. That's why I haven't filed the report. I was hoping to speak directly to you about this when you arrived, but never had the opportunity." "You were afraid if you reported it through regular channels, whoever did this would realize their plan had been detected and cover their tracks." "Yes, my lord. When I heard you were coming, my lord, I planned to speak to you about it immediately." "Justice of Torren," the Lord of the Ratch addressed my segment without looking at me, "is this true?"
"Entirely, my lord,"
I answered. The junior priest still huddled, the head priest standing apart from them, looking at Lieutenant Orne and the Lord of the Ratch, where they conferred, an expression on her face that I couldn't read. "So," said Anna and Mianai, "what's your assessment of this situation?"
Lieutenant Orne blinked in astonishment. It looks very much to me as though Jen Shinan is involved with the weapons. How would she have known of their existence otherwise?"
"And this murdered young person?"
"If she is murdered, no one from the lower city did it. But can they have killed her themselves to have an excuse to..."
Lieutenant Orne stopped, appalled. "An excuse to come down to the lower city and murder innocent citizens in their beds, and then use the existence of the weapons caches to support their assertion that they were only acting in self-defense and you had refused to do your duty and protect them."
She cast a glance at the Tanmind, ringed by my still-armed and silver-armored segments.
"Well, we can concern ourselves with details later. Right now, we need to deal with these people." My lord, acknowledged Lieutenant Orne with a slight bow.
Shoot them.
To non-citizens, who only ever see Rajchai in melodramatic entertainments, who know nothing of the Raj besides ancillaries and annexations and what they think of as brainwashing, such an order might be appalling, but hardly surprising. But the idea of shooting citizens was, in fact, extremely shocking and upsetting. What, after all, was the point of civilization if not the well-being of citizens? And these people were citizens now. Lieutenant Orne froze for 2 seconds.
My lord?
Anna Ander Mianai's voice, which had been dispassionate, perhaps slightly stern, turned chill and severe.
Are you refusing an order, lieutenant?
No, my lord, only they're citizens, and we're in a temple, and we have them under control, and I've sent Justice of Toron 1S to the next division to ask for reinforcements. Justice of Ente 7 Isa should be here in an hour, perhaps two, and we can arrest the Tanmind and assign them to re-education very easily, since you're here.
Are you?
Asked Anna Ander Miatna Ai, slowly and clearly.
Refusing an order.
Jen Shinan's amusement, her willingness, even eagerness, to speak to the Lord of the Raj, it fell into a pattern for my listening segment. Someone very high up had made those guns available, had known how to cut off communications. No one was higher up than Anna Ander Miatna Ai. But it made no sense. Jen Shinan's motivation was obvious, but how could the Lord of the Raj possibly profit by it? Lieutenant Orne was likely having the same thoughts. I could read her distress in the tension of her jaw, the stiff set of her shoulders. Still, it seemed unreal, because the external signs were all I could see.
I won't refuse an order, my lord,
she said after 5 seconds.
May I protest it? I believe you already have,
said Anna Ander Miatna Ai, coldly.
Now, shoot them.
Lieutenant Orne turned. I thought she was the slightest bit shaky as she walked toward the surrounded Tanmind.
Justice of Toron,
Mianna Ai said, and the segment of me that had been about to follow Lieutenant Orne stopped.
When was the last time I visited you?
I remembered the last time the Lord of the Raj had boarded Justice of Toron very clearly. It had been an unusual visit, unannounced. 4 older bodies with no entourage. She had mostly stayed in her quarters talking to me, Justice of Toron me, not 1-esque me. But she had asked 1-esque to sing for her. I had obliged with a Valskayan piece. It had been 94 years, 2 months, 2 weeks, and 6 days before, shortly after the annexation of Valskay. I opened my mouth to say so, but instead heard myself say, 203 years, 4 months, 1 week, and 1 day ago, my lord. Said Anna Anda Mianna Ai, but she said nothing else. Lieutenant Orne approached me, where I ringed the Tanmind. She stood there behind a segment for 3.5 seconds, saying nothing. Her distress must have been obvious to more than just me. Jen Shinan, seeing her stand there silent and unhappy, smiled, almost triumphantly.
Well?
1-esque,
Lieutenant Orne said, clearly dreading the finish of her sentence. Jen Shinan's smile grew slightly larger. Expecting Lieutenant Orne to send the Tanmind home, no doubt. Expecting in the fullness of time Lieutenant Orne's dismissal and the decline of the lower city's influence.
I didn't want this,
Lieutenant Orne said to her, quietly,
but I have a direct order.
She raised her voice.
1-esque. Shoot them.
Jen Shinan's smile disappeared, replaced by horror and I thought, betrayal. And she looked plainly directly towards Anna and Mianna I, who stood impassive. The other Tanmind clamoured, crying out in fear and protest. All my segments hesitated. The order made no sense. Whatever they had done, these were citizens, and I had them under control. But Lieutenant Orne said, loud and harsh, "Fire!" And I did. Within 3 seconds, all the Tanmind were dead. No one in the temple at that moment was young enough to be surprised at what had happened, though perhaps the several years since I'd executed anyone had lent the memories some distance, maybe even engendered some confidence that citizenship meant an end to such things. The junior priests stood where they had since this had begun, not moving, saying nothing. The head priest wept openly, soundlessly.
"I think," said Anna Ander Miatna I, into the vast silence that surrounded us once the echoes of gunfire had died down, "there won't be any more trouble from the Tanmind here."
Lieutenant Orne's mouth and throat twitched slightly, as though she were about to speak. But she didn't. Instead, she walked forward, around the bodies, tapping 4 of my segments on the shoulder as she passed, and gesturing to them to follow. I realized she simply could not bring herself to speak. Or perhaps she feared what would come out of her mouth if she attempted it. Having only visual data from her was frustrating.
"Where are you going, Lieutenant?"
asked the Lord of the Ratch. Her back to Mianna I, Lieutenant Orne opened her mouth, and then closed it again, closed her eyes, took a breath.
"With my Lord's permission, I intend to discover whatever it is that's blocking communications."
Anaanda Miatna I didn't answer, and Lieutenant Orne turned to my nearest segment. "Jen Shinan's house," that segment said, since it was clear Lieutenant Orne was still in emotional distress. "I'll look for the young person as well." Just before sunrise, I found the device there. The instant I disabled it, I was myself again, minus 1 missing segment. I saw the silent, barely twilit streets of the upper and lower city, the temple empty of anyone but myself and 83 silent, staring corpses. Lieutenant Orne's grief and distress and shame were suddenly clear and visible to my combined relief and discomfort. And with a moment's willing it, the tracker signals of all the people in Oz flared into life in my vision, including the people who had died and still lay in the Temple of Ikt. My missing segment in an upper city street, neck broken, and Jen Shinan's niece, in the mud at the bottom of the northern edge of the 4 temple water.